stand up here when that. Oh. I always make sure I'm standing here when he finishes that so I can just think that the clapping is for me. And that joke will absolutely never get old to me. Please stand in body or in spirit. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It is good for us to be here today. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have done and we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And before we sing the gathering hymn, any children that would like to go, you know, be children and learn and all the things somewhere else for jam, please feel free to go now. And we will continue on with our gathering hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is risen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading this morning is from Acts, the 8th chapter. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 22 responsively with me. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and return to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him.
Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
And proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The second reading is from 1 John, the fourth chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loves us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
The 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. It's like our sanctuary, our stained glass windows were made for a reading like this. I see fruit everywhere. So I have to ask, I mean, I know our doors have lots of signs on them, but did you see the sign that was there specifically for and about this sermon? Did you see the sign about the sermon when you came in today? No? You missed that sign? Well, you should all go out and come back. No, I'm just kidding. It said your participation in the sermon today is required. You missed that sign? Oh, there might not have been a sign, but there was not a sign because you're Lutherans. And if I told you on your way in that you were going to have to participate in a sermon, you would have just left. You would have got in your cars, and you would have had an early brunch today. Because the sermon is the time that you get to sit back, you get to relax, you get to close your eyes and fall asleep if you don't like the sermon.
Not if you're shouting.
That's true. That's why I do it. It sounds, even a crappy sermon sounds so much better when you yell it. So that is why I surprised you with your needed participation today, because I didn't want you to leave. So tell me, what are some words or phrases that you would use to describe Jesus? This is not a rhetorical question. I want words shouted back at me. Love. She showed me her foot. I don't know why her shoe says love, but love. And I read that upside down. Wow. Give me.
Healing.
Kind.
Gracious.
I love these. These are really good words. I love it. And I love your little, yeah. Compassionate.
Merciful.
What? Forgiving. What?
Welcoming.
What else we got? That's it? Wow.
Obedient.
I'll tell you, over at the other church, it was like 45 minutes. They were just, I'm just kidding. I was late today. So, thank you all. Very good words. What if I added humble? Do you agree with humble? I have to tell you, someone in the other church didn't agree with humble because they said Jesus was bold, which I will say Jesus is bold. And I'm actually going to argue a bit today against humble as well. But he does say it about himself in Matthew's gospel, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that sounds really nice, actually, right? A Jesus who is humble and bears my burdens, which I do believe Jesus bears my burdens. But the Jesus that we encounter in John's gospel, I think the gospel of John reveals to us a different version of that Jesus. And this is a Jesus that really, really wants us to know exactly who he is. On 8 different occasions across the gospel of John, he says, an absolute I am, as in I am God, as in I am God made incarnate. And then 12 more times he says I am, and then continues with some kind of statement of metaphor. So I have to say I found all of them when writing this sermon, which may have been as late as 5 a.m. this morning. And even though Matthew's gospel says Jesus is humble in heart, I'm just going to say it. I think that John's gospel, Jesus may be a little bit full of himself. Can I say that? Can I say Jesus is full of himself without getting God's wrath? Brian, you might want to scoot back today. That's why you all sit in the back. Although I can't really say that today. You all are way up front. What is wrong with you today? But seriously, John's Jesus talks more than I do, right? Eight times he tells us that he's God's son. He's like, oh, I'm the son of God. I'm God incarnate. Okay, Jesus, we got it. We heard you the first 7 times you said it, and then you said it an 8th time. Can he be any more full of himself? I mean, seriously. And then he keeps going in all of these metaphors. He's like, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living bread that came from heaven. I'm the light of the world. He has to say that twice because we didn't hear him the first time. And then he says that he's the gate for the sheep. He says that again. The good shepherd, he says that again. And then he says that I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you get any more arrogant than that? And then 2 times, And then 2 times from the gospel reading today, I am the vine, and my Father, to give it a little more authority, I am the vine, my Father is the vine grower, as in God grew me. I think we let Jesus get away with this because he's Jesus. If anyone else that you knew said all of these things about themselves, you would be like, wow, that dude is full of himself, right? Okay. Did I get anybody excited? Norm, I'll bet Norm's mad at me this morning. He's like, I can't believe you're talking about Jesus that way. I'm trying to get you a little bit spun up so I can get your attention, because I don't actually think Jesus is arrogant or full of himself. What am I doing? Anyway. And if you do, raise your hand. Anybody? I'm going to take a few steps back in case anyone raises their hand. I don't want lightning to strike me today. Do any of you think Jesus is arrogant or full of himself? No? Bold, maybe? There we go.
He's highly self-differentiating.
Yeah, there we go. That's good. I like that. Highly self-differentiating. Say that 5 times fast. The Jesus we encounter in John's gospel knows exactly who he is, and he wants all of us to know too. He is most certainly God incarnate, and all the words he is using to describe himself, these are words that are meant to provide us comfort. Bread of life and living bread. When we are hungry and when we need food, Jesus is the bread of life that sustains us. Calls himself light. Anyone here, at one point or another in their lives, ever afraid of darkness? Raise your hands. Come on. You're a lot more honest. You're a lot more honest than the other ones. I've only got 3 hands in the other church. Right? I was terrified of the dark when I was a little kid. The basement, this recurring nightmare of a roller coaster taking me into my dark basement at my parents' house. It was awful. Anyway, if we think about it, though, it's not really the dark that we're afraid of, is it? It's what's in it. And if it's dark, it's the fear of the unknown, of what may be lurking, right? So the light, Jesus, the light, illumines the world. And what is happening? All right, it's so loud. And it has to be me. Anyway. But Jesus illumines the way in this world. He lightens those, he adds his light to those places where there is no light. And he takes away that fear. It's meant to be comforting. Jesus is the gate for the sheep. We talked about dumb sheep last week, right? Yes, I called you all dumb sheep. And one of you actually at St. Paul's, he came to me after the service. His name's Randy Shaw, and he said, I raised sheep for 50 years, and that was the most on-point description of sheep, which, remember, was not my description, but he said that was the most on-point description of dumb sheep that I have ever heard. And then he told me, he's like, a sheep will work all day to get out of its pen, and when it gets out of its pen, you know what it does? It wants right back in, okay? So Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the gate. He tells us this twice. Jesus is the gate that allows those sheep to come back into the fold. But what else does the gate do? We don't just leave a gaping hole in the fence, do we? No, the gate closes the sheep in, and it keeps the wolves out and the other predators out. And then, of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. I beat that one to death last week. We'll cover it again in, you know, I don't know, 6 months or something. And the resurrection. He says he's the resurrection, right? As in life after Jesus has died, life after we have died, and of course, life after our loved ones have died, and we continue to live on after them, right? That is comforting to know that Jesus is the resurrection. These are all comforting things. And this Jesus, the one we encounter in John, calls himself all of these things, not to build himself up, but to tell us, to tell his disciples and to tell us exactly who he is and to provide comfort for us, for his disciples when he is gone, because he is preparing them to be gone. And in particular, in this gospel that we read today, this is called his farewell discourse. It is a sermon of sorts that he gives to his disciples right after the Last Supper, and it is the night before his crucifixion. So I have to ask, why on earth are we reading this now? Seems a bit odd, right? In the Easter season, Jesus is alive, right? Because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Right. And this Jesus, knowing exactly who he was preparing his disciples not just for his crucifixion with this sermon, not just for the resurrection, but also for his ascension. And that is what we are beginning to prepare for. When Jesus would no longer be walking on this earth, and it is here in this farewell discourse that Jesus does something completely different than in all of those other times in the Gospel of John, in these I am the metaphorical statements. Today Jesus says, I am the vine. And then he adds something to it. He says, and you are. Nowhere else in John's gospel does Jesus continue that statement to tell us what we are. But in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the
branches.
The branches. So, we're going to finish this up with a quick three-point sermon to end the sermon. Point one, naming this relationship, vine and branches, is a pastoral act on Jesus' part. Remember, this is the night before he will die. He is pastoring his disciples. Jesus will die, he will be resurrected, he will ascend, and even then, he will remain the vine to which we, the branches, are forever connected. That is a pastoral act. Point two, we're more familiar around here. I mean, we put grapes all over, right? But I don't know too many people around here that grow grapes. We have people that grow trees. And all kinds of other things. So I'm going to switch the metaphor for a moment and change it to trees. What do we call a tree with no branches?
Dead.
A log.
Dead?
A log? I'm going to go with a telephone pole. Right? It's a telephone pole. And I have to ask, when is the last time, unless there was some kind of vine growing up it, have you seen a telephone pole bear fruit? How about a dead tree with no branches? Never. Right. A vine without branches bears no fruit. So you are follows the I am because Jesus needs these disciples, especially once he ascends. Right? You, Peter, you, James and John, you, everyone who is within earshot of this sermon, you are my disciples and you are forever connected to me. But it is you, my disciples, not me, Jesus, the vine, but you, the disciples, who must bear fruit because you are the branches. Because a telephone pole is a stick planted in the ground that bears no fruit, but branches. Branches bear fruit. A vine does not bear fruit. The branches, you. You, Abby, you bear fruit. And the vine, Jesus, needs the branches. And that is what he is telling his disciples. And that is what we hear when we read this. That is what Jesus means when he says, abide in me as I abide in you. We abide in one another because we need one another. Think about that. Jesus needs us. It's kind of crazy to think about. Point three, disciples don't bear fruit to prove that we are disciples. We don't bear fruit to earn our way into being disciples. We bear fruit by the mere fact that we are disciples. We just naturally bear fruit. Not to prove our worth or our worthiness, but because Jesus, our vine, feeds and sustains us, is our lifeline to the nutrients and sustenance in the soil and in the earth that we, the branch, need. And we will wither to nothing unless we abide in Jesus. But when we abide in Jesus as disciples, but when we do that, the fruit, it just grows. It just comes, right? You don't have to work extra hard to bear that fruit. It just appears. We are not trying to prove that we are disciples because we can't prove that. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't earn our way into being disciples. But I promise you, as disciples, you do and you will continue to bear fruit. So John's Jesus, the one we meet today, the one who calls himself the vine, the one who called himself all the other things, bread and light and gate and good shepherd, resurrection and way and truth and life, he's not an egomaniac. He's not a narcissist. He's not arrogant. He is not full of himself. He is just being pastoral to the disciples who will very soon be seemingly on their own. They will feel like they are on their own. And he's saying to them, you're not. You're not alone. Because even in death, even after I'm resurrected, and yes, even when I come back to you and you're like, hey, Jesus is back. All right, we got the team back together. He's going to disappear. He's going to ascend. And then they're going to be like all confused again. Like, what happened, Jesus? I thought we were doing this again. Because even after that, Jesus will still be with them. Because he says, I am the vine. And when you abide in me and I in you, you are the branches. And because you are part of me and I am a part of you, you will bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not a prerequisite to be called a disciple. It is not a prerequisite to be called a child of God. It is not a requirement that you must live up to or achieve. It just happens. It's just a natural outgrowth, if you will. A natural outgrowth of discipleship. Of Jesus telling us that we are the branches. This is a gift. This is a gift to his disciples, who are confused and soon to be very confused and mourning and heartbroken and anxious and scared. And for the same reasons, it's a gift to all. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And this is most certainly good news. And this is where we return to the beginning and you participate. This is good news for which we all say, thanks be to God. Amen.
words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Prior to the prayers of intercession, I ask if there are any other prayers that should be added this morning.
The Gillespie family.
Say again?
The Gillespie family.
Gillespie?
Yes.
The Gillespie family.
They lost their
12-year-old son. That is terrible, and yes, we will add them to our prayers.
Daryl Gates.
Say again?
Daryl Gates.
Checking my text messages because I had one. So you all may have known, you all may know who Betsy Boday is. So Betsy's husband, Roger, passed away this week. So please, we will be praying for the family of Roger Boday. Any other prayers this morning? Let us turn our hearts and minds to prayer. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of the good news. We pray for the church around the world, for all ministers, and for the mission of the gospel. Keep all newly baptized and confirmed in your care. Tend to us and prune us that we may abide in you always and bear the fruit of the vine. May we perceive where you are calling us, the people of First Lutheran, to accompany your people in Galleon and beyond. God of grace. For the nations and all those in authority, for the leaders of Galleon and Crawford County, including mayors, those of city council, commissioners, and school boards, our state representative, Reardon McLean, our state senator, Bill Reinecke, our governor, Mike DeWine, for the leaders of this nation, especially our U.S. Representative Bob Latta, and Senators Sherrod Brown and J.D. Vance, and our president, Joe Biden. May all work for peace and prosperity for those whom they have been called to serve. God of grace.
For the well-being of the earth and of all created things, for rivers and lakes, streams and estuaries, for polluted waters, for those overtaken by algae blooms, remind us that we are called to steward those wellsprings of life, especially Lake Erie, the Olentangy River, and the local streams and reservoirs. Renew the face of the earth and shower us with your goodness. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. For all those in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression and violence, especially in Gaza or other parts of the Middle East, including Syria and other war-torn nations, in Ukraine, in Haiti, and for all who are ill or suffering, especially Jordan, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, the Glesny family, who is dealing with a tragic loss of a young child, for Daryl Gates, and for the family of Roger Baudet as they work to deal with his sudden loss. And for all of those that we lift aloud, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace.
For this congregation, for its meal ministry, for its community connection and outreach programs, including Spring Safety Day, for the Hope Team, for the Prayer Shawl, for our relationship with Mill Creek and its residents, for all who visit and minister to one another, for all who take communion to homes or assisted living facilities, and for all who seek to share your love with the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Really live.
Offerings.
Let us pray. Risen One, you call us to believe and bear fruit. May the gifts that we offer here be signs of your abiding love. Form us to be your witnesses in the world through Jesus Christ, our true vine.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life.
And so with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The vine nourishes us with the branches, with this gift of bread and wine. Come to this table, eat and drink where all are always welcome.
Thank you.
is the body of Christ broken for you. Again, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ shed for you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Shepherding God, you have prepared a table before us and nourished us with your love. Send us forth from this banquet to proclaim your goodness and share the abundant mercy of Jesus, our Redeemer and friend.
Amen.
Don't bother getting up. A few announcements. Well, turn the, you know where the AC is, Mike. You go turn it on. It's almost time to leave. Well, I can make that not happen with the announcements. Do we really have a worship and music meeting after service today? Okay, I was going to say, we do have a council meeting briefly. Should be a quick one. I hope we will be meeting up in the, let's go ahead and meet in the library today. So prayer shawl, Bible continues on Tuesday at 7 here. Wednesday, May 1st, 3 p.m., Bible study at St. Paul and North Robinson. If you want to join us, we are covering the book of Acts, and we're going to keep going on the second half of the second chapter. It's going to take us like 7 years to get through the book of Acts, but we'll get there. So please note that there was a sign on the door about this morning. The church office will be closed tomorrow. If you have a pastoral care emergency, please contact me. The office will reopen on Tuesday at 9, be open from 9 to 1, Tuesday through Thursday this week. Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this as I wrote it. It has been an absolute joy to welcome and worship so many new faces over the past several months here at First Lutheran. So if you are interested, and this is not a sales pitch, this is not, we're not selling, you know, timeshares or anything. I should have stuck to the script. We're not selling timeshares or anything like that. Okay. If you are interested in becoming a member here, that is wonderful, and we would love to welcome you as a member. If you are not interested in becoming a member here, that is okay too. We would love to continue worshiping with you, all right? So if you're interested in becoming a member, please contact me either after the service. My email is in the bulletin, my phone number is in the bulletin, or contact the church office, just not tomorrow, and we can arrange a meeting. Fair? All right, fair. Any other announcements this morning? Initiation fee for membership. It's free to join, but after that. Meal sign up sheet. Go please check that out. It's out on the table. Anything else this morning? Seeing and hearing no additional announcements, please stand for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. In him we have life. Go in peace and bear fruit in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks.